All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you can take your seats, we're going to get started. We've got really an absolute treat for all of you. Let's hear some applause for people who are familiar with comedian Dave Smith. All right. What can you say about Dave? Not only does he take 2 days out of his life, he's got a young baby at home, but he's an entrepreneurial guy with his comedy, very hardworking. He's got a podcast via the Gas Digital Network, which is really the new model, selling subscriptions. Just a fantastic guy, a thorough Misesian Rothbardian, actually very well read, and we so much appreciate him making the time. So please welcome Dave Smith.
Oh, what's up, Mises University? How is everybody, huh? Oh, what an honor. What an honor to be back here. How about another round of applause for Jeff Dice, everybody? The president. The only president I will refer to as our president, Jeff Dice. It's so great to be back here for all of you guys, the Jews, Catholics, autistic people. We got it. We got the whole gamut right here in front of us. It's my honor once again for the second year to keep my title of being the dumbest person to ever speak at a Mises University event by far. There is no competition. I was very happy to take a couple days out to come down here. This is the pilgrimage to Mecca for all of us. And I'm around so many of my heroes, so I love being here. I had a big year. As Jeff said, me and my wife had our first baby this year, so that was, thank you very much. All right. I didn't do that much work, so, it was mostly her. It is. I know a lot of you guys are young, but you'll have kids someday, and it is unfair what women have to go through. It is just, it's unbelievable. It really gives you an appreciation for women. Having a baby, it's like, men, you have one very small part at the beginning, and it's pretty fun, I'll be honest. And then it's just 9 months of your wife being, like, uncomfortable and sick, and it's, they go through a lot. It's tough. Women really have a beef with the system. And I don't mean, like, the patriarchy. Biology. Like, you have a real beef with biology. Your problem is with God. Like, those people who are like, God hates gays or whatever? I don't think God hates gays. Have you seen gays? They're having a great time. God hates women. He is mad at you guys. You should not have eaten that apple or whatever it is that you did. He's got a beef with you. Pregnancy is very hard, and it's awkward. I don't know. It's like, I know Jeff's a father, and some of the staff here have kids. It's weird when your wife is pregnant, because it's all about her. And you're just kind of there, like she's the star of the show, and you're a Yankee fan, and she's Derek Jeter, and you're just like, can I get you something to drink, Derek Jeter? And then you're like, why is Derek Jeter furious at me? I don't know what I don't know why Derek Jeter's yelling at me all day today. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a season ticket holder, really. So you should show me a little bit of respect, but I don't get any. But it's amazing. I love being a father. It's the absolute best. It's the best thing I've ever done. It's a strange relationship you have with your baby, because you love them more than anything, and they make you happier than you've ever been, but they don't do anything for you. Like, you do all of it. They contribute nothing. They don't bring any money in. They don't even they don't go like, hey, thanks, I appreciate it, And they yell at you. Like, most of my day is just my baby yelling at me. But I still love her more than anything. Like, she actually yelled. She's the night before I got here, she kept me and my wife up till 5 a.m. just screaming at us. She was a terrorist. Like, just, she's such a terrorist, I'm surprised the CIA isn't sending her weapons. That's how much she yelled at us that I thought that one might go over well with this crowd. But she yells, and it's hard to describe to people who aren't parents, because you're just happy, but it doesn't make sense on paper. Like, it's like, how's being a father going? And you're like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And they're like, what's it like? And you're like, well, I'm exhausted, and I'm constantly terrified something's going to happen to her, and I'm covered in spit up and poop. And it's just great. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's really, really great. And they're like, that sounds awful. Like, no. Did I mention I was terrified? Did I not? No, it's good. And then my wife, she had the baby. And then she like got right back in shape. Like, she started going to the gym every day as soon as her doctor cleared her to. And my wife's like, she's beautiful. And she got thin right away again, which is awesome. But you're not allowed to act like it's awesome. You have to act like you don't care either way. But really, you're like, all right, thank God. That was good. Like, that was so good that you did that. But you have to just act like you don't care. Like, whatever, fat, thin, doesn't matter to me. You know, it's really, but it's a health issue more than anything else. So you can't, like, my wife told me right away after she had the baby, she was like, I'm going to get my body back. I'm determined to get it back. I was like, yeah, it's whatever, you know, like, whatever you want to do. That's totally fine. I will drive you to the gym every day, though, if that's what you want to do. I will pay for the membership. I'll even lock the doors in the morning if we need to. Anyway, it was great. It was the right time to have a kid. I just felt like, you know, everything in our society is stable. Everyone's getting along with each other. Now's the time to bring a child into the world. Now that the future is on steady ground, and man, what a world we live in. Like, it's always been crazy, but it's just now everything's upside down. Everything. Like, it's just Trump is still president. I still kind of can't believe it. Like, every day, you know, you turn on the news and you're like, oh, I wasn't dreaming. This is real. This is all still. Do you guys follow him on Twitter? You have to. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you're missing out on some great entertainment. Like, I don't even know why I do this anymore. He's the best comedian in the country, Donald Trump. No one's funnier than that guy. He tweeted out from the POTUS account. He tweeted out, he goes, he goes, the lying media is trying to ruin your favorite president. And then after your favorite president, he put in parentheses, me. And like even Trump was a little bit worried that you may not realize. Like, he was like, we're talking me here. Like, some Fox News viewers were going to be like, what, Reagan? He was like, no, me. We're talking about me. And he's just trolling all of, you know. It's like you watch the news and, you know, they're like, well, his approval numbers aren't doing good and the whole media is against him and the Democrats are against him and the Republicans are against him. And you're like, oh, man, this guy might be in trouble. And then you see the Democratic debate and you're like, OK, he's going to win for sure. He's absolutely going to win. There's no question. Donald Trump is getting reelected. None of those people are going to be able to handle him. That's, you know, he just gives you a nickname. And then it's over. And then you can never look at that person the same. Like, I was just watching that debate, and I was like, Joe Biden is sleepy. Like, as someone who has a 7-month-old baby, I know sleepy when I see sleepy. This Joe Biden needs a nap. This guy is, and he's Elizabeth Warren. Oh, he already ruined her. Like, she's already just, he trolled her into taking a DNA test. I mean, who would have known Donald Trump would be this brilliant? He trolled her. He goes, I'll give Elizabeth Warren $1 million if she takes a DNA test. And she took it. And then the reporters came up to Trump and they were like, so she took the test, are you going to give her $1 million? And he was like, no. I'm not giving her any money. They were just like, okay, I guess, you know. And she didn't do great on the test. She did not. She did not have a great test. I know there's a lot of people here who were just taking some tests. You couldn't have done worse than Elizabeth Warren did on her test. So just don't. I mean, she didn't get a zero, but she did not pass. She did not come close to passing. She was like 1/1000th Native American. That's not enough to call yourself Native American. Like, just, and this is true, okay? My wife, she took a 23andMe test, and she is 1% Northern African. I know, I almost left her, but I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to make this work anymore. But she's 1% Northern African. That's true. So my daughter is 0.5% Northern African. Okay, so fine, Elizabeth Warren, she can be an Indian, but then I'm raising a black girl. Okay, so if we all get to play by the, don't laugh, you have no idea the challenges raising a black girl. in this racist society that we live in. That's your white privilege right there. You have no idea what it's like. I have to talk to her about the police every day, and she's only 7 months, so it's cool. But Elizabeth Warren, none of them can win. Bernie Sanders isn't going anywhere. His message got tired. People are over it now. You even see people on the left. They're like, yeah, I know. It's the 1%. How much can you demonize the 1% when you just jumped into it, Bernie Sanders? It's not so bad, is it? Imagine, you almost have to respect what a brilliant capitalist Bernie Sanders is, don't you? He made $1 million writing a book about how evil it is to make $1 million. God bless the free market. I mean, that is just incredible. But none of them can beat Trump. None of them can. At the end of all of this, at the end of all this theater, you got to get on a stage with Donald Trump one-on-one and debate Donald Trump. How do you do that? I couldn't do it. I'd be 3 questions in. I'd be like, vote for this guy. I don't know what to tell you. Remember when Hillary Clinton tried? Hillary Clinton would just try to say these like rehearsed politician talking points. She'd be like, the rhetoric of my opponent is just reckless. And Donald Trump would be like, your husband's a rapist. And she was like, Jesus. Like, what? What did you say? And then it's still a debate. So the moderators would be like, Hillary, you have 30 seconds to respond. So it was like, respond to my husband's a rapist? Like, I don't know. I've asked him to stop. I don't know what to tell you. He keeps flying around with Jeffrey Epstein all over the place. I think, yeah. Too soon? All right. Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know. Every now and then you could just look at someone's face and be like, yeah, I think they're guilty. I'll tell you, there's some shady stuff going on with that Jeffrey Epstein. I was watching I watch MSNBC to get angry. And I was watching them, and they were reporting, like, as information was coming in, and they were like, the FBI raided Jeffrey Epstein's home, and they found a bunch of pictures of young girls, and they go, and then they just reported this like it was meaningless. They go, and they also found a passport, a Saudi passport with a different name and his picture on it. That's silly. And then they just move on. And you're like, no, that's a little bit more than silly. That's interesting. And, he's just saying, he's one of those Saudi Mossad agents. Anyway, moving on. Sorry. Come on. If I can't talk to you guys about this, we're gonna. It's all. Everything's so upside down. It's a hilarious world to live in. Trump is president. Bill Cosby's a convicted rapist. If I had asked you, like 20 years ago, if I had said Donald Trump and Bill Cosby, one of these men is gonna be a convicted rapist. The other will be president of the United States of America. We all would have gotten that test wrong. Can you imagine if someone just woke up out of a coma today and they were like, what's going on? You're like, well, you may want to stay laying down for this one. Things have gotten weird. Now Trump's picking a fight with the squad. That's, the squad, these 4 crazy people. It's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and the other two. The other two who I think are just like hanging out, like they're just their friends or something. I don't know. It's kind of funny to me. I like the squad. I mean, I don't like them. They're insane communists. But I kind of like them existing because no one else knows how to handle them. Like even Nancy Pelosi was like, you need to shut up in public. Like you are embarrassing all of us. And then Trump started fighting with them. And that Ilhan Omar woman, she'll just say stuff. And it's always interesting when there's a politician who'll just say, she said, Israel is hypnotizing the world, and then, which is just factually accurate. And that's just, I mean, you can be offended all you want to, but as she said, she goes, there's a whole lot of Jews in this country who have dual loyalty to Israel and America, and the whole media was like, you cannot say that. It is anti-Semitic and hurtful. And obviously true. So we don't want that getting out there to anyone. It was like Ben Shapiro and people like that. He was so furious at her. He was like, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard that this woman would say this. And then like his next segment was how the BDS movement is evil. And you're like, I think you're proving her right. Even that AOC, she, you know, she'll say like all these that, you know, she's like, America is a white supremacist country and, you know, whatever, we need a Green New Deal. And then she goes, and we should eliminate the Department of Homeland Security. And I was like, you got me interested on that last one, lady. I'll be honest. That last one, there's a point to that. There's at least a good point to that. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch it play out. Because, man, when Donald Trump gets reelected, I mean, if you think it's crazy now, they're going to lose their minds when Donald Trump, they're not going to be able to handle this one. I don't know. I don't think Putin did it is even going to work at that point. I think there's going to be, I can't wait to see what they come up with next. I'm just excited to be surprised. So Donald Trump, have you seen him? He's back in campaign mode now. There's nothing better. I thought I would be over it at this point. I thought I wouldn't still be laughing, but it's just still so hilarious. Even like policies I don't completely agree with, I just want to be a part of with Donald Trump. You know, he's like, who's going to pay for the wall? And I'm at home like, Mexico. And then I'm like, no, seriously, we shouldn't build a wall. It's probably not a good idea. I don't really want to, but you know. It was hard. He has a way of selling things. Like even when Trump first came out and he was like, you know, we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. It's pretty hard to be against that. Like what? I'm going to be the jerk who doesn't want a free wall? Like, all right, it's free. Let's get, sure. Mexico. What else is Mexico buying us? But they're just so much fun. That's how I know he's going to win. He's having fun. Have you seen those people? Like, even when they were getting so upset, they're like, they were chanting, send them back or whatever. It's like the Democrats don't understand what fun is anymore. That was like a room full of people having a good time. I know the left, like, you're not allowed to have a good time anymore, but that it's Donald Trump's having a great time. The audience is having a great time. There's never been a politician like him. Have you seen his public speeches? Every politician in the history of my life, they give scripted speeches, they're boring robots, and they say exactly what they planned on saying. They focus group test every line, and they make sure they never say anything that might offend the audience they're in front of. They just stick to the script. And then there's Trump, and he just goes. He gets up there, and he's just like, look, we're going to freestyle this thing. Like, I'm just spitballing. You ever listen to a Trump speech? Donald Trump will say this in every speech, and he says it multiple times every speech. Donald Trump will just go, what else? Because he doesn't even know what else he's going to talk about in that speech. He's just like, what else? We'll figure it out. And then, like, people yell stuff from the audience. Like, he'll be like, what else? And then someone's like, China. And he's like, China. All right. And then he talks about China for 20 minutes. And you're like, I don't even think we were going to talk about China today if that guy didn't yell it out, but now I think we're in a trade war. I don't know, like this is, he's launching wars on Twitter. He's just like, you know, it's like hashtag Iran, we're gonna bomb you, like what? Is that a declaration? It's the closest to a declaration of war we've had, I don't know. And like I hate him, but they make you root for him. It's this weird dynamic. Like I'll like tweet a bunch of things in a row just making fun of all the people who hate Trump, and then they're like, oh, Dave's such a Trump supporter. And I'm like, I think he should be tried for war crimes. He's just a hilarious war criminal. I don't know. We can walk and chew gum, can't we? The whole thing's crazy. And now I gotta actually worry. You know, I used to be like one of those libertarians who was like rooting for the crash. Like, I can't wait for the crash to come. But now I got a daughter, and I'm like, let's make it not such a bad crash, if possible. That'd be good. I had to deal with things I didn't have to deal with before. I got to deal with Obamacare now. I never had health insurance in my 20s. Never did it. Just rolled the dice. And, you know, probably not the best thing to do, but worked out pretty well. What are you going to do? You gamble and you win. You don't regret it. So I never had health care. Then I have a kid. Now I have to do that. I have to have health care for the whole family. And it is a nightmare. Obamacare is just the worst thing ever. Okay, this is a true story. So this is like 2 months ago. We were switching pediatricians. So I called my health insurance company to make sure that the pediatrician we were going to was in network. Because it said it on the website, but you never know. Sometimes those things are outdated. So I called my health insurance company, and I was like, So I just want to make sure we can take my daughter to this pediatrician that we're covered. And she goes, okay, I can check on that for you, no problem. And then she goes, okay, I see here that your daughter's health insurance has been canceled. and she's no longer on your plan. And I was like, okay, that's way worse than what I thought we were going to be talking about. Like, I did not see that coming at all. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? She's, at the time, she's like 5 months old. I was like, you might have 5 month olds? Health insurance is canceled? Like, that's, why did that happen? And she's like, they were canceled by the state exchange. And I was like, why? And they go, we have no idea. They don't tell us. They just canceled her insurance. And I was like, but I got billed this month. Like, I paid for it this month. Why are you charging me for it if I don't have health insurance? And she goes, I agree with you. You shouldn't have been charged this month. And I was like, well, I'm glad we're on the same page with that. Like, I'm glad we have the same ethical standards here, that probably. But I was furious because I'm like, you didn't even, like, I was like, why didn't you call me or email me or something? Like, why wouldn't you let me know this was happening? Like, this is, it's not cable. Like, this is a 5 month old's health insurance and you just canceled it without even giving me a call. By the way, cable gives you like 10 calls before they'll cancel. You're 2 days late on your Spectrum bill. They're like, we're checking in. Everything okay? Like, are you? But health insurance just like cut you right. So they were like, you got to call the state because they're the ones who know. So it's like hours of getting through to the state.gov system. So I get to them and I'm furious at this point because it's 5 hours later. And, So I was like, why would you cancel my baby's health insurance without even letting me know? And he goes, no, we did let you know. Did you check your inbox? And I was like, yeah, I check my email every day. And he goes, no, not your email. Did you check the inbox of the account that you created on the newyork.gov.health thing? When you, and I was like, what? No, what am I, a serial killer? Of course I don't check that. I don't even remember that I created an account. I just bought health insurance from you once. What? Yeah, you're right. Every morning I wake up and go, oh, I wonder if there's any updates to my... So anyway, they figure it out. They're like, oh, it was... So anyway, the whole thing was that they. He was like, well, we told you when you first signed up that when your daughter gets her Social Security card, you have to send it in. And I was like, yes, I did send it in. I sent it into my insurance company. And they go, yeah, so you have to send it into your insurance company and you have to send it into the state. So that's what happened. So they canceled it. So I was like, okay, well, I'll send you the card. And they go, okay, we can re-enroll you in the same plan, but we just have to ask you a few questions. I'm not making this up. These are the questions that they asked me about my daughter. By the way, the answer to every single one of these questions is she's a baby. So the list of questions that the state asks you before you can get your baby enrolled in healthcare again. So question number one, has her employment status changed since the last time you enrolled her? And I was like, yeah, she got a big promotion at the job. Things are going really good. Bringing in the big bucks now. No, they go, is she incarcerated? Real questions that they asked me about. I was like, yeah, she started running with a pretty rough crowd around 3 months. We tried, you know, at that point, it's really out of her and her mother's hands. So again, has just like questions on and on like that. And then at the end of all of it, they're like, congratulations, you have the same healthcare you had at the beginning of the day. And I was like, you know what? This might not be the best system. I'm not sure this is working out super well. So that's why they were so, you know, as I guess that's why people wanted to repeal that thing. I don't know. Now they want a Medicare for all plan. That's the big thing that the Democrats are pushing, Medicare for all. Bill de Blasio, he's my problem. He said the other day in a speech that under his Medicare for all, that gender reassignment surgery would be covered. He just wanted to clear that up in case anybody didn't think that would be taken care of by the taxpayer. And you look at it and you're like, are you trying to be president of Portland? Like, how do you think this is gonna play in the rest of the country? As literally all Donald Trump has to do is go, weirdo, and they're like, he makes a good point. I don't know. It's a weird, weird world. It is a strange world that we're living in. I don't know. Anyway, this is what's nice about coming to places like this. You get to be around, you know, normal people who by today's standards are freaks. You're all a bunch of freaks, but you're the people who kind of get it and have a good head on your shoulder. You're the best hope for the future. What I'm saying is we're screwed, but the point is, I'm rooting for you guys. This is the type of show I love coming to. Right before I was here, I was up in Canada, you know, that socialist country. And I was up in Canada at the socialist country that I think scores higher than us on the Freedom Index. But and I was up there and I was staying at this hotel. It's the Radisson in Toronto. And I go there and I was I went to check into the hotel, and the woman behind the desk, I walk up to the hotel to check in, and she points at me and she goes, "Are you in the group?" And I was like, "I don't know what group. Like, I'm here with my friend Rob, who's opening for me. We're a group, technically." I was like, "No, we're not in the group. We're just trying to check in." And she was like, "Well, we can't check you in yet. You have to wait another hour." So we left and we come back, and then there was this guy behind the desk, and we're walking up to the desk and he goes, "Are you in the group?" And I was like, "No, I'm not in the group. This is a hotel check-in desk. I'm about to tell you who I am. Like, I'm going to give you ID and stuff." So anyway, it was really weird. And he's like, "Let me see if we can check you in now." And then the woman, the same woman from before, she came back out to the desk and she goes, "Are you in the group?" And I was like, "Lady, you know I'm not in the group, all right? We already talked about this. So what are we doing here?" And then she was like, "Okay, sorry, we can check you in. There is a little problem. I see here that you reserved a hotel for 4 days with 2 beds. All we have is a room with 1 bed. Is that going to be an issue?" And I was like, "Well, I'm here with my friend Rob, and I'm not really trying to take this relationship to the next level. So yes, that's going to be an issue. Like, I need a room with 2 beds. And we're arguing for a minute, and then she goes, "Well, look, this is the only room we have, but we can send up a cot. Is that okay?" Now, I should tell you, at this comedy show that I'm doing, I'm headlining the show, and my friend Rob is opening for me. So I know Rob's sleeping in the cot, all right? That's the point. Like, I know this is Rob sleeping in the cot, but I still had to pretend like I was a little bit upset for him, but really, I'm like, "I'm fine. I don't care if Rob sleeps in the cot." So I was like, "What? It was supposed to be 2 beds. Whatever. Give us the cot." And we go up to the room. So we go up to the hotel room, and about 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. I go to the door, there's a Mexican guy with a cot. Mexican dude and a cot. And this is a Mexican guy in Canada. So, like, he's illegally crossed multiple borders to make it to this job up there. At that point, I'm like, "God bless you," you know? I think by the time you pass the second border illegally, it's like double jeopardy. I don't know, you're here. I know that's not what double jeopardy means, but, you know, you're cool. So he has a cot, so I gave him, like, a couple dollars. Probably like a million to him, and I took the cot. So we take the cot, and I was like, "Thank you," but he didn't really speak the language, but I think he got it. And we take the cot in, and so we have the cot, we have our bed. 5 minutes later, there's another knock on the door, and it's another Mexican guy with another cot. And so now I'm like, no, it's okay. We already got the cot. We don't need, like, a second cot doesn't help the situation at all. My friend's Rob, you know, he's not going to sleep on one cot with his feet up on another cot. Like, I'm, you know. So we were like, no. But this Mexican guy, he doesn't speak English. So he doesn't know what I'm saying. But I'm like, no. And he's like, see. And I'm like, no. And then he just gets this, like, you know, infuriated thing where he's like, "I was supposed to deliver this and I don't know, I'm gonna get in trouble." But I'm like, "Well, we don't have room for another cot. Sorry. So I just won't take it. And I come back and I'm like, I guess they tried to send another cot. So I'm not making any of this up, by the way. 5 minutes later, there's another knock on the door. And I was like, "If this is another Mexican with a cot, I'm gonna lose my mind." So I open the door, completely true story, I swear. It's two Mexican guys with 2 cots. And a woman wearing a blazer that says, "I'm a hotel manager." Like, even if you just saw this woman walking down the street in that blazer, you'd be like, "I bet she's a hotel manager." That's just, it was a weird blue color. Anyway, so I open the door, and she points at me, and she goes, "Are you in the group?" And I was like, "Am I in, like, a sci-fi novel right now? Like, what the hell is going on?" Like, I was just getting furious. I was like, "What do you mean, am I in the group? What are you going, like, this is a hotel. You came to my room. You know who's in here. Are you just going door by door and asking them if they're in the group? And we don't need any more cots. What the hell is going on?" Like, And I was like, what? No, no, we're not in the group. And I swear to God, what she said to me next was the most appalling thing I have ever heard in my life. She goes, we're going to need that cot back. That cot was supposed to be for the group. And I was like, no, no, it wasn't. That cot was for us. We had a reservation for a room with two beds. You only had one bed, so they sent us up a cot. And no, this is our cot. And she goes, no, 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 I need that cot back. And I was like, well, lady, I'll be honest, you're going to have to fist fight me for this cot. So I don't know. If you and these two Mexicans want to come in here and hold me down to the ground and pry this cot from my cold, dead hands, then maybe you can have it. But I'm not giving it back to you. I'm not going back to a world where I'm sharing a bed with Rob. All right? That's not happening. This is our cot. You can't have it. And she was angry. She was really angry because she knows that she can't fist fight me and take the cot. Like, that's got to be against Radisson hotel policy. You can't fist fight. So she was just angry. And she's like, well, you have to give it back to us. And we were fighting for a while. And I was like, well, I won't. I won't give it back. I don't care. And we're here for 4 days. I'm keeping this cot for all 4 days. So figure it out. And then she tried other tactics. So she tried to extort me at one point. She goes, she was like, well, if you're going to keep the cot, we're going to charge you for the cot. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's kind of messed up because you gave it to me and now you're charging me for it later. But oh, okay, how much are you going to charge me for the cot? And she goes, it'll be $10. And I was like, that's the most insulting thing anyone's ever said to me. Did you think you were going to break me for the $10 for the cot? Like, I was going to be like, ooh, $10. All right, well, me and Rob will spoon for the rest of the week. I mean, I got that type of scratch lying around. But so I was like, okay, fine. Charge me the $10, whatever. And then she just realized she was defeated. Like, there was nothing else she could do. She got the $10 from me. I'm not giving up the cot. So as they were walking away, by the way, this whole time, these two Mexicans have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what we're screaming about. They're like, dude, I'm just trying to do my job and go home to my family. So she goes, fine. And they start walking away. And then as her last tactic was she tried to guilt me. She tried to guilt me as she walked away. And she looks at me and she goes, just so you know, someone in the group is going to have to sleep on the floor. And I was like, lady, I hope this hotel burns to the ground with every member of the group still inside of it, okay? You think I care if they're sleeping on the floor? I hate you, I hate the Radisson, and now I hate this group. And I don't even know what the group is. Like, I hope it's a group of evil people, because I hate them now. And then they left. And then I was talking to my friend Rob afterward, because, you know, it was one of those moments where you come back in and your friend Rob's there, and you're just thankful you have a friend who saw that whole thing happen, because someone may not believe you if it is. So I was like, you saw that. That's insane, right? And he goes, yeah, that's insane. He was like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then he says to me, and now I think my friend Rob is crazy too. He goes, you know, that's crazy, and I've never had a bad experience at a Radisson before. And then he was quiet for like a second. And then he went, actually, the first time I was at a Radisson, a guy staying there got stabbed. And I was like, what? So you're telling me this is the second worst thing that's happened to you at a Radisson? And a guy got stabbed at a Radisson and you kept going back to Radisson's? And then when talking about it, you went, I've never had a bad experience at the Radisson. That was, how good were your in-between stays at the Radisson? Anyway, that was the story. And we didn't know who the group was, but I just wasn't going to give up the cot. We never got our room cleaned for the 4 days we were there. I do not disturb on every day, as I knew they'd try to take that cot from me. I wouldn't give it up. But I found the group. I found the group. It was the next day. I came in at big group, and it Indian students competing in a spelling bee competition. That's who the group was. I know. I was hoping it was like the Clown or something, but it was hard to hate them. I was like, these are just kids spelling words none of us will ever use in our lives. And they were there, and they were flooding the lobby. So it took like 45 minutes to get into the elevator because there was one elevator, and each time it would just be jam-packed with high school Indian spelling B contestants. And I finally got in there after 45 minutes, and I'm squeezed in, just squeezed into this little elevator with all of these spelling bee students around me. And I was just looking around, making eye contact with every one of them. And I was like, one of you is sleeping on the floor because of me. Like, that's what I did. I hope you get rug burn all night long. All right, man. Well, listen, I got to say, and I really mean this quite sincerely, I've been very fortunate in my career. I've been able to do some pretty cool things. Been on some cool shows, and I get to do what I love and support my family that way. But by far, the coolest thing I've ever done in my career is two things. There was going on Ron Paul's Liberty Report was just like, to me, that was like a dream. That's my hero. And coming here to the Mises University. So thank you guys all so much. I appreciate it so much. I love you guys. Long live the Mises Institute. Thank you.